Time now for World Sport from the BBC with me, Chris Florence. And coming up, the quarterfinal action continues at the US Open with all the latest from a windy New York. Gerard Houllier is confirmed as the new manager at Aston Villa, and Ferrari escaped further punishment after using team orders at the German Grand Prix. First, though, the tennis news, and the top seed Caroline Wozniacki is through to the semi-finals of the US Open in New York. She beat Dominika Sivakova 6-2, 7-5 to join Vera Zonareva in the last four. And Novak Djokovic has reached the last four in the men's draw, beating Gael Monfils also in straight sets. On court now, it's Roger Federer against Robin Söderling. And all the latest from Flushing Meadows comes from David Law.
And we've already had our first standing ovation of the Roger Federer against Robin Söderling match. And we're only into the third game of this contest. As you say, windy conditions here, one game all. And the standing ovation was because of a rally with Federer coming into the net and playing a lob volley, which Söderling managed to retrieve and win the point from. And Söderling, in fact, has been the better player of the two so far in the embryonic stages of this match. He had two break points in the previous game. One of them was overruled by a Hawkeye challenge, which was just a millimetre inside the line, and Federer getting away with that and holding on to his serve. So Söderling knocking on the door. He's a player that we don't expect to be as comfortable in the wind as Federer, but he's doing well at the moment. It's one game all at the start of this match.
Well, as we just heard from David, it's Roger Federer now taking on Robin Söderling. Federer, though, leads Söderling 12-1 in their head-to-heads, but he lost their last match at the French Open earlier this year, so he does know he needs to be on top form.
I don't think there's any really hidden secrets for both of us. He's been able to string together, you know, a few good years now on the tour. Before, he was very good already, but he was a bit up and down, and maybe that's also why his ranking was a bit lower, but look, he's playing really well.
Football now, and Aston Villa have named the Frenchman Gerard Houllier as their new manager. The former Liverpool boss, who went on to enjoy a successful spell with Lyon, succeeds Martin O'Neill, who quit last month, just before the start of the season. The BBC's Pat Murphy has been following events at the West Midlands club.
The French Football Federation have at last sanctioned Houllier's move. He'd been in Sarajevo the night before in the European Championship qualifier. He went to Paris, made it quite clear he wanted to leave his job as technical director. He now goes with the FFF's blessing. Paul Fortin, the chief executive of Aston Villa Football Club, has made it quite clear in a statement that the key ingredient was experience of managing in the Premier League and also understanding the strategy in building on the existing strengths of the players that are at Aston Villa. Paul Fortin says that Gerard Houllier stands out as a football manager who understands the ethos of the club and its core values. Interestingly, Houllier in the statement says it was a very difficult decision to leave the FFF, couldn't turn down the chance to manage a club whose approach on and off the field he greatly admires. But he also said it's one of England's biggest clubs, Aston Villa. Now, some people might feel that's not quite the case anymore. He also says it's an amazing set of fans. Well, I think Houllier, having managed Liverpool Football Club and won three trophies in 1 year, 2001, I think he knows a little bit about amazing, passionate set of fans. I wouldn't say that Villa are necessarily in the top five in terms of sets of fans, although Houllier may well galvanise them and build on what Martin O'Neill's done in the last 3 years, i.e. top six position in the last 3 years.
Formula One's governing body will impose no further sanctions on Ferrari following the team orders controversy. A meeting of the FIA's World Motorsport Council agreed unanimously to uphold a $100,000 fine handed to Ferrari in July after the German Grand Prix, when the team was found to have ordered Felipe Massa to allow Fernando Alonso to win. Well, let's now get the reaction to this news from the BBC's motor racing commentator David Croft.
It's not a surprise, sadly for me, and I think for most Formula One fans, it was a result that could have been widely expected. Ferrari's argument that it would be hypocritical to punish them when it's alleged that other teams have given instructions to their drivers during races seems to have convinced the World Council, who, according to the president of the Italian Federation, voted unanimously in Paris today. Former Ferrari team boss Jean Todt didn't take today's meeting. He stepped down to let his deputy take charge. However, some will argue that his first real test as president of the FIA has ended without a strong and a decisive result, although will the sting in the tail now be that the team orders rule that only came into being after the Austrian Grand Prix in 2002, when as team boss of Ferrari, Jean Todt engineered Michael Schumacher's victory above Rubens Barrichello, is voted out of the sport for good.
The FIA will now review the ban on team orders, which was introduced following the 2002 season after Ferrari ordered Rubens Barrichello to hand victory to Michael Schumacher in the Austrian Grand Prix. The Formula F1 driver, John Watson, says whatever the regulations, the teams should be obliged to reveal their tactics before a race gets underway.
The bottom line is it's the public that are being deceived. And my concern is that the public need to be made aware, and therefore, either through regulation or through the teams themselves announcing prior to every Grand Prix that if their two drivers are running 1-2 and the driver running second has a better chance in the championship, that they will instigate team regulations. But it must be made aware, the public must be made aware of what's going on.
Host Turkey are through to the semi-finals of the World Basketball Championships after an emphatic 95-68 win against Slovenia. They'll now face Serbia, who knocked out the defending champion Spain, winning 92-89 in a thrilling finish. Chris Mitchell has the story from Istanbul.
The hoop grows bigger when Turkey shoot. It's the only explanation for their incredible 67% field goal average. Basically, they can't miss. Slovenia were never in this game. When the buzzer sounded, the Turkish players led an impromptu sing-song with the capacity crowd. It's party time here in Istanbul. The United States could meet this team in the final. If you were here, you wouldn't fancy their chances. Spain had 3 seconds to take their game with Serbia into overtime, but Navarro's inbound ball was spilled by Garbajosa. Before that, Milos Teodosic showed breathtaking arrogance. With the game tied at 89-89 and with little over 3 seconds on the game clock, he hit the deepest of threes you've ever seen. It was a game winner.
Cricket now, and the former Pakistan captain Rashid Latif has told the BBC that Mohammed Amir, Mohammed Asif and Salman Butt should be jailed if they're found guilty of corruption. The three players are currently being investigated following allegations of spot fixing. Latif says the only way to stop corruption is to introduce a custodial sentence.
Should be jailed for 2 to 5 years jail, not life ban. Life ban is nothing. If you give 5 years life ban to Salim Malik in 2000, he played all over the cricket, he make money. Should be punished in the jail.
That requires the police finding enough evidence, doesn't it? I mean, can you understand that?
Yes.
You talked about, you know, having your life threatened and needing security after you spoke out against Salim Malik.
Yeah. He's speaking about Malik thing, and I'm not don't care about anything.
Could you understand if Salman Butt was a little scared to give information because he might be receiving threats?
But he has to. If you want to clean the game, one person should come forward, because I'm not in the part of the new cricket. I was played in the 90s or early 2000. But he is the man, he can give all information to the world.
The England coach Andy Flower has expressed concern at the crowd numbers at England's 2020 matches against Pakistan this week. Less than 6,000 watched England win the second match in Cardiff, the lowest for an England 2020 international. There were empty seats also at the first game on the same ground on Sunday. The teams played for the first of 5 one-day internationals in Durham starting on Friday. The 3-time world snooker champion John Higgins has been found not guilty at an independent tribunal of match-fixing allegations made against him by a British Sunday newspaper. The Scotsman, though, has been found guilty of bringing the game into disrepute by not reporting the illegal approach made to him. He was fined more than $115,000 and given a 6-month ban backdated to May. Before we go, a reminder once again of our top sports stories, and the top seed Caroline Wozniacki and Vera Zonareva are both through to the semi-finals of the US Open Tennis Championships following straight sets wins. And Novak Djokovic is the first through in the men's to the men's semi-finals. He beat Gael Monfils also in straight sets. On court now, Roger Federer is attempting to join them.